Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning into Holy Ghost Radio Show, a spirit-filled show with a prophetic mandate to reach the lost and impact God's people with biblical and revelation knowledge. We pray that the Word of God will make a difference in the lives of every listener. So tell a family member, friend, and a neighbor to tune into this life-changing message. Be blessed.
Well, hello, everyone. Once again, I want to welcome you guys to Holy Ghost Radio Show. And tonight we have our weekly guests, Apostle Conrad Bowman and Prophetess Sharonda Riley. We're going to be talking about demons and deliverance. And they gave you some, if you were on the call last night, they gave you some specific instructions. So I hope you guys took heed to that. There will be a lot of, you would need to take notes. For the first hour of the call, we will not be taking comments till after then. And the comments we're going to take strictly has to be about the show. Of course, you know, if you want prayer, dream interpretation, we can do that as well. But the comments has to be about the show. And I will be announcing this again throughout the show. But I want to give them time enough to really get out this information. So you guys, I want you to help me welcome them to the show. How you guys doing on tonight?
Doing great, doing great.
Doing good.
We're great. Amen. So last night was just a small introduction, but tonight they're coming with some very heavy information. So you guys, please tune in. Have your pen and paper out. If you have any questions, because the show is 2 hours, so in 1 hour they will be answering all your questions. So, Apostle, you can go ahead and start the show.
Praise God. We're just going to open in prayer. And,
Amen.
Just let the Lord lead and guide. We just yield to His Holy Spirit. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you, God, on this night. God, we thank you, God, that you called us together. Father God, once again, God, to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. God, I thank you, God, tonight, God, concerning demons, demonology, and deliverance. Father God, that someone will be delivered. God, someone will be set free. God, someone's life will be changed. Someone will be healed. Father God, that lives will be made anew. God, because of the Word of God and because of the revelation, God, out of your Word. God, I ask, God, that you would bind every force, God, that is not like you. God, every spirit, every demon, every devil, every foul, immoral, lying, and subtle, familiar spirit. God, every principality, every power, every rule of the darkness of this world, every spiritual wickedness in high and heavenly places. God, we put them on notice, God, that they are bound, rebuked, and cast out of this call.
Yes.
In the mighty name of Jesus, God, we speak against every disturbance, God, every spirit, God, that is not in alliance and in line and in alignment with the Word of God. God, we call them to arrest right now in the name of Jesus, and we loose the power of God. God, for signs, wonders, and miracles, God, that even while we're on this call, God, people will be getting saved. They'll be getting filled with your Spirit. God, they'll be getting healed, delivered, and set free. God, we thank you, God, for your peace, God. Father God, that surpasses all understanding. God, be loosed on this call tonight, God. God, to guard our hearts and minds, and we say so. We say it is done. We call it finished and complete now. In Jesus' mighty and matchless name, amen.
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 Praise the Lord. Well, we're just going to begin tonight. I want you to turn in your Bibles, and we're really just going to do a good teaching. You're going to have plenty. Can I say plenty of scripture tonight? I want you to start. We're going to start at Luke chapter 10. Just really being let's start at Luke chapter 10. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. I might be a chapter early. Hold on. Thank you, God. Yes, God. Luke chapter 10, verse 18. We're going to start there. Thank you, Lord. It's Luke chapter 10, verse 18.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, let's start. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Let's start at verse 17. I'll be reading from the Amplified Bible, and it says as such. Thank you. One moment. We have the phone slipping a little bit. Okay, there we go. Hallelujah. It says, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan falling like a lightning flash from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And then verse 19 is really going to be our launching scripture. It says, behold, I have given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions and physical, mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses. And nothing shall be, or nothing in any way shall harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written or enrolled in heaven.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. So the verse 21, in that same hour, he rejoiced and glorified in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have concealed these things relating to salvation from the wise and understanding and learned, and revealed them to babes, the childish, unskilled, and untaught. Yes, mm-hmm. Father, for such was your gracious will and choice and good pleasure. All things, verse 22, have been given over into my power, this is Jesus talking, by my Father, who no one knows who the Son is except the Father, who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son may choose to reveal and make him known. And really, really starting there, I jump off verse again, is verse 19, where he says, behold, I give unto you power and authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and it shall by no means hurt or harm you.
Mm-hmm.
We have to understand when we're talking about, we're going to delve into what is demonology and it being the study of demons, and we have to really talk about the relevance of the importance of the study of demons and demonology and of deliverance ministry as a whole. We have a lot of church, but we don't understand that when God sent Jesus, what he sent Jesus to do was to establish the kingdom of God. And in establishing the kingdom of God, what happened was one of the scriptures said that it is God's good pleasure. Jesus said it to the disciples. It is God's good pleasure that he give his children the kingdom. And we have to understand, what is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom? The kingdom is a righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Basically, what we're saying, the kingdom of God is not a place. The kingdom of God, I'm laying this foundation so we really get a good understanding.
Mm-hmm.
The kingdom of God, and I'll let Providence, you know, you can stop me at any time to ask questions or, you know, to help
okay.
the call as well, but the kingdom of God is a function.
Mm-hmm.
The kingdom of God resides within the believer. It's a place of authority and dominion inside of the life of a believer who has Jesus Christ on the inside, meaning mm-hmm. that in heaven there is nothing that rules heaven but righteousness, joy, and peace, which means that we're supposed to bring heaven down to earth. In bringing heaven down to earth, we know that earth is ruled by spirits, and really the world, which in the Greek is the word cosmos, is ruled by the prince of the power of the air. And we as believers in the kingdom of God have been sent as ambassadors for Christ, or ambassadors of Christ, to bring back the captivity of those that are captive, to bring back and win back those souls that were bought into captivity, into the captivity of darkness, or into the kingdom of darkness, when Adam gave over his will and his rights to the enemy when he sinned against God in the Garden
mm-hmm.
of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're doing in the kingdom of God is establishing righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost, in the earth realm. That's our job until he comes, to occupy until he comes. Mm-hmm. So when we understand that, that it's God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom, there is no sickness in heaven. There is no demonic oppression in heaven. There is no lack of peace or lack of how can I say, there is no such thing as not right standing with God in heaven. If you are in heaven, you are in right standing with God. So that means that your salvation is secure and you are a righteous being. And your soul is righteous. It's been brought back. It is redeemed. It has been brought back by the blood of Jesus Christ. But it's not so with every person here on earth. So that lets us know that we really have to understand that we are in a world where everyone doesn't understand. Now, the enemy understands that the world has been brought back by the Lord through the realm of the believers, through the dominion of Christ Jesus. But everyone does not come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Everyone is not saved. The world in itself is not saved. And the world in itself will not be saved, in essence of the word, until there is a new heaven and a new earth. Not until Jesus comes and returns. And when I say returns, I don't mean the rapture. So the first thing we got to understand when we're talking about demonology, you're talking about spiritual warfare. These are terms of spiritual warfare. And when you talk about spiritual warfare, when you talk about demonology, when you talk about deliverance, these are all strategies of war. The enemy, now we could be talking about prayer, and the enemy's going to give us a little bit of a fight. We can be talking about the prophetic, and we can come up against a little bit of resistance because of the ignorance of the people and the lack of the teaching on the prophetic. But when you begin to talk about deliverance, that is the number one thing I can tell you that the enemy hates. He does not want you to be free.
That's right.
Because whatever the spirit, now we're going to use these words, and some of you, I want you to get your pen and paper because you're going to be taking notes because we're not just going to preach at you. We're really going to teach this so you understand. So you understand. The word says, and all thy getting, get an understanding. Get understanding. Receive the spirit of understanding. So first of all, before I go into this teach, the Holy Ghost is really having me, if you're not saved, you need to come and give your life to Christ. There is, now I'm not saying that it's going to be easy, but your soul, there's no other religion, there's no other place on earth where you are given a guarantee of peace, of freedom, of rest for your soul when you leave your body. If you're in any other religion, there's no promises. But thanks be to God that we have the victory through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So I want to invite you to make Jesus your Lord and your Savior. And no, it's not going to be easy, but I'm telling you, you're going to have a lot less worries once you give your life over to Christ, because your life is already in the Lord's hand. So when you close your eyes in death, you cannot awake to flames and demons waiting to torment you, but you awake to a risen Savior and saved loved ones and people that you knew, and rest in peace in God in paradise, in heaven with the Lord.
Amen.
With the Lord. That you be risen, that when that day comes, that you be risen with Christ.
Yes.
And that you rule and reign with Christ, and he loves you. So I want to invite you to a relationship, and those of you that are committing sin, those of you that are stuck in habits, those of you that have sin in your life and you're saved, I want to invite you to receive God's power of deliverance. All it is a decision. All it is you giving over your space and your time to give it up and ask the Lord, and he is willing and able to do it. One of the names of the Lord in the Bible is Jehovah Sabaoth, and that means the Lord, our great and strong deliverer. It means he's a strong deliverer.
Yes.
So we have to understand, though, we have to lay that foundation, give your life back over, because deliverance, I have to say this, when you are possessed, when we're talking about demon possession, and there are stages of possession, you have to understand that you cannot be possessed. The real word is not really possessed. The word is demonization. And a Christian can, a real born-again blood-lost believer cannot be totally possessed by a devil or a demon, but they can be highly oppressed to the point where you basically look possessed and you act possessed and you're ruled by a spirit, a dark spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And people are really going to receive the meat of this lesson because, first of all, we have to understand that demonology is the study of demons. And I want you to write down, I'm going to give you these scriptures. We're going to visit them in a little bit, but I want you to write these scriptures down. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 through 45. That's Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 through 45.
Mm-hmm.
And that's talking about what demons do. That's talking about what happens. We're going to hit that in a little bit. Also, I gave you Luke chapter 10, verse 18. And also, Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 30. Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 30. And that talks about legion in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, first of all, let's establish the importance of the study of demonology. The reason why you need to know about demonology, not just demonology, but deliverance. Now, you cannot bind anything that you don't have a working relationship with. And when I say this, a lot of believers, prophets, want to rebuke the devil, but they don't really gain, you don't gain the power over the enemy by just rebuking him when trouble comes. Get power over the enemy when you go through an experience with him and allow the Lord to teach you the tactics of the enemy. And once we're taught the tactics of the enemy, then we have full ground because we know what we're fighting against. We know what we're coming up against. Like I say, we take too much time trying to rebuke the devil, and we don't take our time to learn that spirit.
That's right.
The Bible says, Paul said, that you got to learn. Don't be ignorant concerning the schemes of the enemy. Because whatever you don't know, now I'm not saying go find a devil, go find a demon. What I am saying is, if you are ignorant concerning spiritual warfare, if you are non-cognizant concerning demons and deliverance ministry, you totally blinded yourself to it, which means you are open for full-on attack.
That's right.
Because what you don't know can hurt you. I know a lot of people say, well, what you don't know, you know, can't hurt me. But that's one of the biggest lies from the enemy. What you don't know means that you perish for the lack of knowledge.
Yes.
And she says, because you've forgotten the Lord, he forgets your children. You have to be, and that's why it comes with studying the word, the whole gospel. Because when we cast out demons, we bring to fruition the finished work of the cross.
Yes.
And I say that because then you have to say, well, Jesus came to save me. Yes, he came to save you from your sins, but we got to ask ourselves, where did the origin of sin come from? The Bible says that Satan or Lucifer was sinning from the beginning. Demons did not sin first. Sin originated when Lucifer fell from glory with one-third of the heavenly host. And so it says, the Bible says that the Son of God says that Jesus was made manifest that he might what? Destroy the works of the devil. Jesus had to come back and buy us back so that we could operate in deliverance and get others set free to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But when you're not delivered, you cannot. When you are not delivered, you cannot bring someone into deliverance. So the word says, snatching those from the fire, even detesting the clothes that have been stained or spent by the flesh. You can't bring anybody else out if you have a demon. Beelzebub can't cast out Beelzebub. And we have a lot of people transferring spirits, and when I say transferring spirits, I mean by way of laying on of hands. You can transfer spirits by way of witchcraft practices, taking salt baths. Now, I don't mean in any way putting essence salt in your bath. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what is called a witchcraft practice called cleansing baths, What I have to do is I'm establishing this so that when we go into the study, you know what we're talking about. Because
okay.
I got to debunk and denounce everything that some people, even in church, might be practicing.
Wow.
You don't take a bath with oil and kosher salt or oil forget the name of the salt, with the girl with the umbrella, yellow umbrella. You don't do that to cleanse your spirit or to cleanse your household. You don't clean your walls with ammonia and olive oil. You don't. Your defense is the blood of Jesus. Your defense is the name of Jesus. Your defense is the word of God, not extracurricular things, not calling on saints, not calling on Mary, not calling on Peter, not calling on your great-grandmama, because some people call on, and that's a Yoruba practice that comes out of Santeria, where people call on saints and call on artifacts, and they got prayer beads, and they got pictures of the saints, and they're wearing crosses, and you're sleeping with your Bible underneath your pillow. The devil does not care about any of those things.
Ooh, Jesus.
If you don't have the word of God hidden in your heart, and I don't mean the words of God. I mean the word of God. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, your Savior. Operating in your spirit. You're a prime candidate for an enemy or a spirit to come and accost you and haunt you. Because many people may not be going through possession, because that's a very extreme case. But there are a lot of people in church that are very highly oppressed by the enemy and don't even know it. Preachers, pastors, ushers, choir members, folks that we see on television that have spirits, and those spirits have entryway because of ignorance and because of what we fail to give up.
Apostle, can you go back over the cleansing bath and the cleaning with the ammonia? Because I heard of that before.
Yes, I don't want you to step in. But there's a white, that's really white magic. That's charismatic witchcraft.
Okay.
Because it's taking something and saying it's really replacing the power of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Because there's no other name under heaven by which we're saved. There's people that, you know, put on certain, they'll say general store down here in downtown Memphis, where people get soaps and they get baths, and it says if you want your court case to go right, bathe in this. If you want your man to fall in love with you, do this. And people bury folk drawers in the backyard, and they put, and this may be a little extreme, so if you have children, I don't know if they're ready, but pray over your household even during this call. And God, we just pray over the people's households, God, that they be safe, God, even and protected, God, by your word, God, while this broadcast goes forth. But there's many people, Tiana, that buy soaps. There's a lot of soaps and also makeup that has whale fat and animal fat in it. And a lot of times someone can use that as a means to put roots on you or to have witchcraft on you, and that introduces demonic spirits into your home, practicing different types of magic, going to psychics and soothsayers and mediums. It opens up not your physical house. People always want to exorcism of spirits from their house, but the house that needs to be exercised, or the house that actually needs to be delivered, is your body, your spiritual house.
Mm-hmm.
Because we looked up today what exorcism really is. And exorcism is not the same thing as being delivered.
Mm-hmm.
And exorcism means to make an oath with the devil to cooperate with what you wanted to do.
Mm-mm-mm.
That's not the same thing as casting out Lord Jesus. And we have a lot of people, and I'm going to go over them in a minute, what it means when demons operate in the Latin words. We're not going to call out the Latin words, but when demons enter a person, they either operate in a shutdown mode, an open mode, or a hidden mode.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times when people lay hands, people still have the spirit in them. Don't be fooled because the person passed out.
Yes.
Or the person fell out, because that demon will play possum on you. And it'll go from the attic and go right to the basement. It'll hide somewhere in the body.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about the news, you got to watch out who gives you what food you eat, whose house you go over, what clothes you wear, because those things carry spirits. the King Redeemer, demonic spirits. And I think Providence has a piece on people using different modes and different operations to keep spirits and, you know, spiritual cleaning. But we know that the only thing that cleans the house is the blood of Jesus.
Yeah, I just wanted to share or kind of piggyback with the some of the remedies. You know, how we are so quick to run to home remedies. And there's nothing wrong with home remedies. As a matter of fact, home remedies are deeply encouraged by the body of Christ. Not just so much as the body of Christ, but just people in general. Because, you know, you also have doctors who practice witchcraft. One of the highest forms of witchcraft that is practiced is, which is also ruled by demonic forces, is in the medical field. Mm-hmm. If you recall reading the book by Rebecca Brown, is that Rebecca Brown?
Mm-hmm.
The woman of God who came out of the occult and out of the Church of Satan. Okay, this woman, she was not, you know, how can I say this? She didn't willingly join. You know, she was invited. She was invited in. However, she was forced to join because of powers that she had since birth because of some ignorance that took place at her birth in a hospital. They took blood from her, and there was a doctor who delivered her, and, you know, as a baby being delivered, that is, and took blood samplings from her and used it for witchcraft purposes. So now this girl has grown up, and, you know, she's having all these powers, and she needs answers as to why she's so powerful and so forth. And then the book goes on to enter some of her testimonies and things of that such. So you do have a lot of witches and warlocks who have worked in the medical field. You won't see it as much now because this is much more of a modern day, and the HIPAA law will have their jobs and their lives. So, you know, you don't see it as much in a hospital. But what you will see is home remedies. Home remedies, like what Apostle was talking about, Epsom salt, taking baths in Epsom salt, is absolutely okay. Because I know some people practice witchcraft with salt and things like that, but it's only table salt. It's salt that you buy in a grocery store that you actually cook with. Like you said, I think it was called Morton salt. I can't remember. But they use that salt in particular, and we will have research on that by next week as to why, because that's a whole nother ball game. But as to why a lot of people in witchcraft will use that particular salt, you know, we have to be careful with the emblems that we see, even in this world as of today. Won't go into depth in that because also this is another subject. However, we've seen them. We had women who voluntarily wanted to wash our socks in salt because she told us that it would keep the enemy away to put on our threshing floor. We had to explain to her and take her through deliverance as well concerning that and how that relates so much to witchcraft. You know, Dead Sea salts are absolutely fine because it's just for your skin. But anytime someone, you know, gives you any kind of substance, I don't care if it is extra virgin olive oil or what Rachel Ray called EVOO, I don't care if it is that. Some things can be highly contaminated when it's not used according to how the word of the Lord tells you to use it. Okay, you have people who get married and they do the salt covenant. There's nothing wrong with that. But the problem is when we take natural forces and we use it against the word of God, when we begin to practice these things with our bodies to gain a power from it. When you receive your power from the word, your only source and your only power source is Jesus Christ. Anything outside of that is occultic and is considered to be witchcraft, and it is a trick of the enemy, and it is one of his famous ways of having you to open up a doorway to your soul. So now you have people, like he was saying, who opens up the doors not even just to their souls, but to their homes, and call for what we call paranormal activities, is washing walls with ammonia mixed with oil. Now, there's nothing wrong with cleaning up with ammonia. I clean up with ammonia because of household purposes. But when you're playing with ammonia and you're washing your walls down because you thought you experienced demonic activity, you're going to be really in for a fight. Amen. When you're using Amen. Salt, when you're using any kind of baking goods, when you're putting water in plastic bags and sticking a penny in it because you think that it's going to keep the spirit of Beelzebub or the Lord of the Flies away from your house, that's witchcraft. Any, I don't care what it is. If flies are coming around your house, you're either going to pray or you could just go simply buy some off candles and burn the candles, or you could go to your local drugstore and get things for that. Because some people say, well, this trick worked, that trick worked. You can do this if you like this, and if you do that, all of these enemies are going to go away from you, and that is so not true. It's a setup of the enemy. Now, the people who are giving you the remedies, it doesn't mean that they're in witchcraft. Sometimes it's simply a spirit of sabotage, to sabotage you of your faith, of your destiny, of your character, of everything that God has for you. And a lot of the times when a person is operating out of that spirit, they really do not mean any harm at all. However, people are used by the enemy. They are, you know, ignorant of the devil's devices. One thing that the Lord encourages deeply for us not to be, you have women, older women, who follow deeply with the old wives' fables, what the Bible calls it, or in our times being superstitious. You have to be careful of that. Well, honey, don't cross the pole when we're walking, and honey, don't you do this. And you know, people told me, I have a son with multiple disabilities, and he wasn't walking for a long time, and he still doesn't. But they used to tell me that if I set my baby in the corner of the house and take a broom and sweep in front of him, he's going to eventually follow the broom, and he was going to get up and walk. We've had people to tell us, when you're pregnant and if you're dealing with morning sickness and you're sleeping in the bed with your husband, instead of getting out of the bed the regular way, jump on top of your husband, cross over him, and get out on the opposite side. And the spirit of sickness or whatever that was making you sick would make him sick, and all that morning sickness will fall on your husband and not on you. And they think that it's cute, and that actually works, but it's not of God. Why would you want to inflict sickness on somebody else, first of all? That's not of the Lord. So we have a lot of people, even in the church, practicing witchcraft, telling you if you drink a little oil and if you mix it with water and if you do this, that, and the other. Now, if God tells you to do something, by all means, please obey the Lord. But when someone thinks that, well, I've learned this from my great-grandmother and it worked, just because it worked does not mean that it is of God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You have people who practice magic. You have people who are in witchcraft so heavy to where they prophesy. People prophesy with the help of a devil. People speak in tongues with the help of a devil. People shout and dance in the church with the influence of an enemy. People preach and will even preach Jesus. Nowadays, you have demons. You have people who are oppressed or depressed or suppressed with the demonic spirit, and they will still preach Jesus in the pulpit. So you can't even be fooled by the word that comes out of the pulpit, because one thing about the enemy, he'll give you a little truth, but he'll mix it in with a lot of a lie. One of the most powerful warlocks who I've ever known was up under a bishop that I sat under for 5 years. Always preached Jesus. He said he was coming back. He told us about the death, burial, and the resurrection. But this man would have us writing angels. We used to write angels, and we wanted something. If we wanted a brand new car, we would write to the angel of this particular car lot, and we got the car.
Wow.
We would be like, well, we want this house on this street to the angel or the homeowner of this house, blah, 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 X, Y, Z, A, B, C, and we got it. He would have us eventually, as the years went on, this is when I said, okay, God, I got to go. This man had us writing angels to people if we wanted to inflict sickness on them. and things of that sort. And it got to the place where we were so afraid of him, and we were so terrified and so alarmed to where we were afraid to leave the church. So we have to be very, very careful of who we have laying hands on us, who we have teaching us, giving us advice, women of God that are listening on this line. If you have issues with your children, if you're having issues with your husband or anyone in your family, your best bet is to seek the advice of the Lord.
Yes.
This is what the Lord has to say. Because I told the people of God last night, this is the time, not season, because it only lasts for a short period. But these are the times where we're going to see demonic oppression and depression in people like never before. People are going to begin to act out, and we're going to see spirits coming up at its highest peak in this timing of the Lord. Amen. I want to turn this back over to Apostle because he has so much that he needs to get out. And in the second hour, you know, we're going to be able to answer questions. I won't be interpreting dreams today, but we would definitely be praying for you. Any questions that I can answer on the second end, I will have. But Apostle have a lot of meat, and it's very important that he gets this out within his first hour. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Really, and this is really may shock some people, but you have to, we're going to go back to the beginning. And like I said yesterday, deliverance ministry began with God's word. When he said, let there be light, he was saying, let my presence dwell there. Now, later on, I want, when you go to Genesis chapter 6, you can see this. But we all know how Lucifer fell. He sinned against God. And fell, tried to usurp the authority of God. He fell with one-third of the heavenly host. And he fell with angels. When they hit earth, they became fallen angels. And he changed from being Lucifer to being Satan, which means adversary. What happened then was God throughout time, you know, he created Adam and Eve. You know, man progresses, goes on and on and on. But because of one key verse that I want you to pay attention to is Genesis 3:15. And that's when Jesus, when God said, and he didn't reveal his name, but God said to the enemy, he said to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed, and you will bruise his heel, and he will crush your head. What he was saying was there was going to be a seed that was going to be risen up. And though Jesus would bring everything back into full alignment, he would be bruised on the cross, but he would crush Satan's head on the cross and through the work of redemption. That's what that means. But the enemy heard that then, in the beginning, in those early times, in the early times of sin. So what he decided to do was that, okay, I can't do anything about this seed coming, but what I can do, is get as many, and as you check Bible history and Bible scholars will know exactly what I'm talking about. What happened was that I have to get as many women pregnant as possible to stop the seed that is to come that's going to crush me.
Yes, Lord.
So what I'm going to do is, what began to happen, you can read it in Genesis 6, and I'm going to read that. Because some people are going to hear this and going to be like, what in the world? But you're really going to understand tonight that demons and fallen angels are not the same thing.
No.
Okay.
Somebody's going to another level tonight. I just felt my brain open up.
Mine.
Praise God. Go with me to Genesis chapter 6. And I'm going to read, I really want to go 1 through 8. And in Genesis chapter 6, start of verse 1, it says, when men began to multiply on the face of the land and daughters were born to them, the sons of God, or fallen angels, saw that the daughters of men were fair, and they took wives of all they desired and chose. Then the Lord said, my spirit shall not forever dwell and strive with man, for he is also flesh. But his days shall yet be 120 years. And it says there were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God lived with the daughters of men, or when fallen angels lived with the daughters of men, or cohabitated with them, and they bore children to them. These children, or these were the mighty men, or giants, who were of old.
Mm-hmm.
It's all going to link up in a minute. Just stick with me.
Mm-hmm.
Men of renown. Verse 5. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and intention of all human thinking was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved at heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy, blot out, and wipe away mankind whom I have created from the face of the ground. Not only man, but the beasts and the creeping things and the birds of the air. For it grieves me and makes me regretful that I have made them. Verse 8, a new beginning. But Noah found grace or favor in the eyes of the Lord. Thank God for a Noah. Because if it had not been for Noah, there would really would be no human race. Because God was so fed up with man, but not just man, but he was fed up with what the enemy did concerning trying to throw off or counteract the seed that was to come. So what happened was, as we know, and in our studies of demonology, you can see that demons can shapeshift, that spirits can shapeshift. That's why the Bible says, be careful that when you entertain a stranger, that you not entertain angels. It did not just say holy angels. It said angels.
That's right. Wow.
That you entertain angels unaware. Jesus.
Yes.
Have you ever been in a place, and I'm helping somebody with their warfare right now.
Yes.
You can go in a place, and someone can, I know a lot of us have had angelic visitations or entertain angels unawares. But sometimes you go in a place and you see someone and you either swear it's got to be an evil spirit or it has to be someone possessed of a devil. Because, like, why would they act out like that at this time? Or as soon as I get on the subway and open up my Bible, here comes somebody screaming and hollering at me, cursing Jesus. That is a demon spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Because when Jesus came, one of the first times he had to cast out a devil, he didn't cast it out by his mouth. His presence cast it out. He came into a certain village, and a person with a devil or a demon came up and said, oh, my God, you're Jesus, the Son of God. Well, what do you have to do with me? Leave me alone. Why are you here? And he said, shut up and come out.
That's right.
He took authority. That's what you have to do. You have to take authority. You don't take authority by any other means but by through Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
So we establish now that these angels changed their appearance into handsome men or appealing men and slept with these women, with the daughters of men. The daughters began to birth out perversions or perverted beings, hybrid creatures called Nephilim or giants. One of the sons of these giants was Goliath from the Philistine camp. So when people talk about David killing, he killed a demon. He really did kill a demon. He killed the Philistine giant Goliath. Because what began to happen was this. What God saw what had happened, the angels had committed treason against God. And those of you that are Bible scholars, you can even see some of that in the apocryphal book called Enoch, the story of Enoch or the book of Enoch. But it's a lot of proof in the Bible that speaks about, you know, there's got to be more. And those of you that love the Word of God, I'm talking about the Word of God, have a handle on the Word, you can read the book of Enoch and get all messed and not get all messed up. Because it talks about Enoch and what happened in Genesis and in Jude, the book of Jude. It says that the angels kept not their first estate. They didn't stay where they were. They didn't keep their first commandment. But God locked them away. He punished them. And he locked them away in a portion of hell, in one of the regions of hell called Tartarus, where a lot of fallen angels or principalities, evil principalities, or devils, that's where the word devils come from, because they were chief fallen angels. They are locked away in that place in hell.
Wow.
So they, you know, somebody told me, I think I just saw a principality. Oh my God, a principality is standing in my house. Not so.
Yeah.
Now, one thing I can tell you, the influence of a principality, apostles fight with because they're gubernatorial officers. They have plenipotentiary power with God. They're ambassadors. They rule with the Lord in the fivefold over the spheres of creation. So whatever they speak, it goes in fruition because that's the job of an ambassador. No ambassador goes to another country representing that country and not having the full backup. So you got to understand, as a Christian, as even a minister of reconciliation, and those of you that are apostles, fivefold, called and chosen and ordained apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you have the power of Jesus on the inside of you to call those things that be not as though they were. Because an ambassador in South Africa has the same rights that the president does. They represent the entire country, and they are not poor. So when you're an ambassador of Christ, you have the full backup of heaven. In word, thought, deed, and action, you have the full backup of Jesus Christ. So when you see that, they birthed out these giants, and that's why the flood was created. God sent the flood to kill off these spirits. And as that flood began to kill them off, he found favor with Noah and his family. But obviously, all of them did not die out, and those spirits returned. When they returned, they started, and we're not going there tonight, but they started the foundation of the Babylonian system through Ham.
That's right.
Those demonic spirits began to speak through Ham. And through the lineage of Ham came Nimrod. Then through the lineage of Nimrod came Jezebel. And that spirit of Babylon has continued even to today. The spirit of Babylon is a spirit of the false church. It's a spirit of the dove. It's a spirit of the false body of Christ. It's called Mystery Babylon. But that's for another time. Okay? But as you go on, you see that these Nephilim, the sons of Anak, begin to die out. As they begin to die out, because they were cursed, because their fathers were cursed, which were fallen angels, so was their seed cursed. So there is no redemption for them. A demon is a disembodied spirit, which means that it once had a body. That's why demons vie so strong to have a body or try to possess a human body, because the bodies that they once have died off. That's why when a demon comes inside of a person, it has the strength of 10 men.
Yes.
Because it literally had the body of a giant a long, long time ago. But as they died off, then disembodied spirits were sent into the dry places, they were sent into the kingdoms of the water, and they were sent into the outer darkness in outer space.
Mm-mm-mm.
So you have demons, he said, they resided on earth, above the earth, and in the earth. And they ruled different kingdoms in the demonic hierarchy. Lord Jesus. And those follow all the way down even into the New Testament. You see very few mentioning of those spirits because God had full control. But the closer that Jesus was time for Jesus to come, we see more demonic activity occurring, even through King Herod, who tried to get rid of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He was influenced by the devil.
Yes.
And the word says that, oh, God, Lord Jesus, somebody's going to another level. Somebody's going to have to listen to this again. Because this is giving you, we're not just casting out. There's no time out for casting out stuff you don't know. Time out for not knowing your word. It's time to get to the roots of the matter. So you know what you're talking to and what's talking to you and what spirit you're entertaining, what's entertaining you. Because there's some people that entertain familiar spirits and don't know it. Why? Because it's familiar. So as those spirits begin to populate, the scripture says, that's why it's so important to know Jesus, because the scripture says, oh God, when he asked Peter, who does men say that I am? And some say that thou art Elias, some say that thou art, you know, Elijah come back from the dead. He said, but who do you say that I am? He said, thou art Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. He said, flesh and blood not revealed that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And he said, upon this rock or upon this revelation, not upon Peter, but upon this revelation that I am Jesus the Christ, Son of the living God, I'm going to build the foundation of my church.
Mm-hmm.
Upon that revelation. And the gates of hell will not prevail against them. What that meant was, because of what Satan did in heaven, because the blood of Christ had not come to purify it again until he died, that people went down into the earth in a place called paradise or the bosom of Abraham. And it was connected. If you read the parable of the rich man and the poor man, Lazarus, you can see a description of what Jesus was talking about. Where the rich man was in hell and he said, please just drop a drip of water on my tongue. The dead righteous were separated in a place called in the bosom of Abraham. And across a gulf or a canyon was Sheol, the place of the dead of the wicked dead.
Mm-hmm.
So when Jesus died on the cross and he descended down into the bowels of the earth 3 days and three nights, he preached to the souls of the righteous. But he didn't preach to Jezebel. He didn't preach to Nimrod. He did not preach to Cain. He didn't preach to those that had died in sin, died that had not walked in the faith. Even those that were a part, supposed to be a part of the household of God, who were a part of the tribe of Korah, were in a place called Sheol. And it said they went down into Sheol or hell alive.
Mm.
The Bible says that hell makes room for all that were accompanied and accompanied for her. All that would take their abode in her, she makes room for them.
Mm.
So we got to understand that God gave us power through Jesus Christ so that the gates of hell would not prevail against us. So that now we have a right to the tree of life. We have a right to everything that Jesus has a right to because we've been made joint heirs and heirs of God. So that means everything that God says and that he has a right to, we do because we have an inheritance in him through the bloodline of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We've been redeemed. We've been brought back.
Yes.
And later on, I really want to really, and maybe I'll just, I think I might give that in a second just so we can flow because it's 52 of the first hour. We're at the 52-minute mark. So I really want to just, give this on the line, but there are three different modes, and we'll get into more things later, but there are three different modes that demons, or I should say different things when you're dealing in deliverance, different operations that demons will do, and the first thing is called the shut syndrome, the second one is called the open syndrome, and the third is called the hidden syndrome, and so, somebody's like, what is this? The open syndrome is actually when, and I can give you this literally, one moment. This literally happens when it's the shut syndrome, when a demon is in a person, but you see the person's eyes have turned black and they're non-responsive, and a lot of times people that have epilepsy and are mute have those demonic spirits. Then you go to what a lot of people, you know, they try to show it in movies. It's called the open syndrome. This is when demons mock you and they laugh and they do all kinds of things and they try not to, you know, they try to avoid being prayed for and all that. That's when a demon is very open. Then you have the hidden syndrome. And the hidden syndrome is when there's a demon in a person, but it tries to hide itself. It tries to play possum. And those of you that operate as deliverance ministers know what I'm talking about. You've been praying for somebody and you know they got a demon, but they fall out. And you'll hear the person, they pick them back up. It's not, it ain't over. That thing didn't come out. And they'll fake like they're delivered and fake crying and everything. And then you'll hear a laugh or you hear a gesture, and you got to keep going. It says in the Bible that not all deliverances happen straight away. Sometimes it took days to get a demon out.
Yes.
Because of the level of influence or because of the amount of demons in that person.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm going to do next, I'm going to list these, and you can always come back on the radio show and take notes of them, but I'm just going to go through it so you can have it on the show, and it's being recorded, okay?
Okay.
I'm about to name to you the 12 strong men or territorial spirits or strong men or strong spirits, demonic spirits, under which all demonic activity occurs. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Mm-mm-mm-mm. Jesus.
The first demonic strongman, No, excuse me. Let me get this portion. I want to give you the steps of people who become demonized or steps of demonization. And the first step is regression. The first step to someone becoming demon-possessed is regression. The next step is repression. And what that is they repress. They start to backslide.
Mm-hmm.
They start to go back to old things and old habits and old stuff. That's how the enemy begins to open up doors that would have been shut or should have been shut. Through regression and repression. Then you have the third step, which is suppression. When people begin to operate in those things in their life, but you ask them about it and they don't tell you, they act like they're fine, they try to suppress that thing. They don't want anyone to know that they're still dealing with something that should have been over a long time ago. And they don't know how to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Then that moves into depression. So you should have regression, repression, suppression, trying to hide that thing, and then depression.
Mm-hmm.
This is when the emotions get involved, and you feel like, you know, suicidal thoughts come, and you feel really, really depressed. And how many depressed believers do we know?
Mm-mm-mm, a lot.
Think about it. They are only four steps away from oppression, obsession, and then finally possession.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how many people get medicine for depression, and it's really a spirit. Then you go further. When a lot of people in the body of Christ, when they have a demon or when they have the influence of a demon, is oppression. This is when you're oppressed by the enemy. And it makes you feel like you're going crazy and you're losing your mind and you're hearing voices and you can't get any help and you're constantly walking around in a state of distress.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have what is called obsession. This is when the root of oppression has fully taken root and then that person gets a hunger for the things of the occult or the things of darkness. And they begin to delve into witchcraft deeper and darker. They begin to get into either Satanism or different occult practices.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, they are totally taken over by possession. And this is usually people that are not blood-bought, people that are not saved. They are totally ruled and dominated by a spirit. And that manifests in different ways. Excuse me. People shouting, people screaming, writhing in agony, people contorting. People screaming out, supernatural strength that's not theirs, laughing, many voices in one voice. That is when there's total possession. And they curse and they're very vulgar. Now, I just gave you the steps, those seven steps, how a person is possessed. Now I'm going to give you the 12 strong men under which all demonic activity occurs. The first one is the strong man of jealousy.
Oh,
wow. Ooh, Lord, somebody. Lord, jealousy, the strong man of jealousy or envy. This is where the spirit of, you see it through spirits of anger. This person has symptoms of revenge, envy, competition, suspicion, lies, and strife. And your scripture reference for that is Numbers chapter 5. 11 through 14, that's a strong man of a jealous spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
One thing that I did want to make mention, I'm going to try not to stop him. Lord, I'm really trying to let him flow. But one thing that I want to say about a jealous spirit that the Holy Ghost just put in my spirit is that any time that a person is taken over or oppressed by this spirit. Now, you can get jealous and it's possible that you could be jealous at something or of something or someone, and it's not a spirit then, you know. It's just something you have to repent of. But when it's repetitious, then that's when it becomes demonically inclined. But one thing that the Lord did put in my spirit as he began to read, he said, that is a mocker. That's a spirit of mockery. That spirit mocks me because one of the things that God does state of himself concerning the book of Genesis, I want to say, is that God is a jealous God.
Mm-hmm.
No other person on the face of this earth should have an issue with being jealous. The only person that should be, and God is a person, who should be jealous is the Lord. First of all, God is sovereign. Second of all, that type of jealousy is a holy jealousy, and it's a lot of pureness to that, because whenever we step outside of any relationship that we have with the Lord, it is spiritual adultery. That then you are crossed over to what I think the Hebrew word for adultery is. No, it's not, I don't think it's Hebrew, but it's the Greek word for adultery is moesho. Not so much that you are married to your husband or to your wife and you're cheating on another person outside of the marriage, but when you step outside of the marriage that you have with the Lord and you put something else in a place of his time. So you're supposed to meet with the Lord at this time, you're out shopping. You're supposed to be praying at this time, you're out taking care of business, and or you're out hanging out with your girls or with your guys, and you're watching a football game. When God never gives time for you, but yet you say that you're married to the Lord and how you have such a great relationship with the Lord, but if you never give him his time, even if it's mentally, spiritually, however, that you don't ever give him his time, then God becomes jealous. This is the reason why, and I hate to say this on the line, but truth is truth. This is the reason why some people die, because sometimes people put their children before the Lord. Sometimes people put their spouses before the Lord, or their family members, or their jobs before the Lord, and you lose your job. But you say, how is it that God gave me the job if I lost it? Because the job became your God. God is jealous because he's bent over backwards for you. He sent his son Jesus Christ to die for you, to shed his blood. He was the ultimate sacrifice. You don't have to go and cut up a bull or a lamb or go or kill a dog or anything to have your sins to be forgiven of you. But he sent his own son, his own only son, to die for you for your sins. And your slap in his face is, well, God, I'm not going to give you your time because I'm going to do this. Then jealousy comes in because you're his creation. You belong to him. If you're married, it's the same way. The husband, if his wife steps out on him, it's going to hurt him. He's going to be jealous. You can't say, well, you got a demon. I know he's wrong, you got a demon, because the prophet and the prophetess said, the devil is a liar. He has every right. But when there is a spirit of jealousy in the church, you mad because somebody out-preached you. Well, really, they wasn't out-preaching you. They just allowed the Lord to use them. And you look at it as if, well, they outpreached me. You getting upset because someone took your place in something. You're upset because this person has this, but you don't have that. Well, I wanted that anointing, and I'm a prophet, but I mean, God, I thought you called me, and they prophesied more than me. And you know, that is a spirit, but that spirit comes to mock Jesus Christ, and that's why that is the sin.
Yes.
Wow. Okay, I'm going to go through the other 11. The second is the spirit of a lying spirit or a lying spirit. I really want to say the lying spirit. You can cite this in 2 Chronicles 18 and 22. What the symptoms that flow out of a lying spirit is a religious spirit. The spirit of filth is a filthy spirit. The spirit of control, stubborn. The person is usually very forceful. And a lot of times, people with lying spirits often manifest as being very gifted. And they will always use, God told me. So you can't catch them in a lie. Well, God told me that. Well, God told me this. Well, God, so they kind of cover their job. That spirit of Jezebel really tries to operate in the gray shade so you don't catch it in a lie. You can also cite that in Jeremiah chapter 23 and also Ezekiel chapter 12 and 24. The third strong man is the familiar spirit. 1 Samuel 28 and 7. A familiar spirit, when one has a familiar spirit, they act holy. They act holy. Very, very, very indignant. Very, very sanctimonious. They act very self-righteous with a familiar spirit. And they supposedly know the future. A lot of people that are prophets, if they're not careful, pride will really grip them and they start operating in a familiar spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You can cite this in the book of Acts when Paul cast out the spirit of divination mm-hmm. out of the slave girl.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fortune-telling spirit. It's a spirit. Should no Christian run to go get nothing from no astrologer?
Come on.
Ah, Jesus.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. There's nothing a horoscope can tell you that the word can't.
Yes.
There's nothing no psychic can tell you that the Lord can't reveal.
Okay.
Well, what's my future? What's going to happen in my future? Hell, if you don't live right.
Oof, Jesus.
Hell, if you don't give your life to God. And you got to understand, you can't run the prophets either, because God will get you, because prophets are not the Bible. We're not the word. We're not
right.
The full written word of prophecy. You get your word from the Lord.
That's
God
right.
sends a prophet to you. You don't go running behind prophets. God sends
mm-hmm.
a prophet to you. They have a position and a job. It's not for you to go be their roadie or a groupie. Because if you're not careful, you will seek for the wrong word, not having a real relationship with God, but trying to have it through that prophet. And God will allow them to give you an off word, and it sends your life in a place where you're going to need God.
Yes.
You've got to establish relationship. And also, they operate in all forms of the occult when they have a familiar spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Then four, the spirit of perversion. Help, Lord Jesus.
Help us, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit of perversion, and when we say perversion, people always think sexual.
Yes.
No, the word perversion means doing something wrong, trying to make it right.
Lord, help us.
The spirit of perversion. Those scripture references is Isaiah 19 and 14. Also Proverbs 14 and verse 2. And also Proverbs 23 and 33. The spirit of perversion hates God.
Mm-hmm.
It is full of lust. And also Acts 13 and 10 lets us know that it's always twisting the word to meet its lifestyle. Is a very strong spirit of illicit sexuality of any kind that come through this spirit. This spirit tries to manifest the presence of God, Lord Jesus. And also when you try to bring in the presence of the Lord, it rebukes that spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have a lot of people gossiping and doing stuff in a ministry or in your church or around you, if you stop I remember one of our sisters in the Lord, somebody was bringing up something that was less than a character or less than really worth talking about. And she just began to praise God in their midst. And as she began to praise God in their midst, they stopped talking. All gossip and ceased because she brought the presence of the Lord in. So nobody could carry on mess while she was praising God.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have number five, the spirit of whoredom. The spirit of whoredom you got to be able to discern this spirit because it's very similar to perversion. It's a spirit of prostitution, even spiritual prostitution. It's not just a man running after a whole bunch of women. It could be the pastor running after a whole lot of sheep that ain't his.
Wow.
You know, whoredom. Idolatry is married to this spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I know somebody like, where you getting these notes? These are my notes. These are my study notes. Praise God. Through prayer. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 28 through 39, talks about that spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I got to thank God for this study. And these are often, even people who operate in the spirit of whoredom are people that will not miss a television show. If something's coming on, you bet. No, I'm taping. I ain't coming to church tonight. I gotta watch Atlanta Housewives.
Atlanta Housewives. Oh, Jesus.
I can't miss the news. I can't go to that 6:30. I won't be there at 6:30. I'll see you at 7, but I gotta see my news now. I gotta see my soaps. I gotta see. No, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Because the next spirit that you're gonna be introduced to after autumn is the spirit of heaviness.
That's number six.
These are also people that deal with weight gain. Excessive weight gain and obesity you just can't shake, you need to go and ask God. And you always been with depression, that's the spirit of heaviness.
Mm.
It doesn't just affect, you know, it affects everybody, but especially mm-hmm. those sometimes that deal with weight gain. Isaiah 61:3 talks about the spirit of heaviness, taking off the spirit of heaviness and putting on the oil of gladness, putting on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
You know, the spirit of heaviness also brings with it gloom, depression, mm-hmm. gluttony, self-pity, mm-hmm. and despair. Then you have number 7, which is the spirit of infirmity, under which all sicknesses can be alluded to. Not all sicknesses are just, ooh, I got a cold. No, it could be a symptom of a spirit. It could be something that you let in. It could be mm-hmm. something that's trying to exact authority over you in your life. And that's in Luke 13, verse 11. Luke chapter 13 and verse 11 talks about the spirit of infirmity. Connected to that spirit is another strong man, called the strong man of a deaf and dumb spirit. Mm-hmm. This is where you get epilepsy, anorexia, the spirit of suicide, the spirit of insanity, seizures, and lunacy. You need to begin to bind and rebuke the spirit of a deaf and dumb spirit. And that's out of Mark chapter 9, and that's verses 17 through 25. Mark 9, 17 through 25. And then we have, I believe we have 4 more left.
Mm-hmm.
The next spirit, and then we're going to go into questions and whatever questions that the people may have and information. Praise God. And just questions. We love your comments, but save your comments and email us your comments. We really need the people that may have questions about what they're going through and that really need answers, okay?
Amen.
The next spirit is the spirit of fear. My God. 2 Timothy 1 and 7 addresses the spirit of fear. Also, Job 4 and 14 says that Job feared. What he feared came upon him. Fear opens doors for the enemy to come in and haunt you, come in and torment you. You have to face. How do I get over fear? Face it. You have Jesus on the inside of you. He said, fear not, for I am with thee.
With you. Mm-hmm.
Okay? What comes with the spirit of fear is torment, the spirit of terror, phobias, nightmares, inferiority complex, never good enough for nothing to nobody, fear, and also inadequacies. The next spirit is the last three. The next spirit is the spirit of pride. How many prideful Christians do we have with that demon? Proverbs 16 and 18 addresses that, and also Proverbs 21 and 24. What operates, when you mark somebody or see somebody got the spirit of pride, the first thing they do, characteristics of the spirit of pride, they fight you. Fighting, contention, wrath, self-righteousness, control, manipulation, and they try to set you up in front of people. And pride is an actor. You got to watch pride, because pride will set you up in front of people. When you get home, it'll tear you up cat raggedy. Because everything that you operate in church or in front of your friends, when you get home, you know you're none of that. Pride is a pretender. It operates in what it wants to have. A lot of times the spirit of pride goes after prophets. That's why when you become coming to the prophetic, the first thing you got to kill is pride and arrogance, because it's going to be on your heels, because the enemy is going to make you, try to make you, it's a Luciferian spirit. It's trying to make you feel good because you can hear God and see things. But you got to watch that spirit, because it will drive you to the spirit of offense.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. The last two spirits, the spirit of bondage. This is where all addictions flow under the spirit of bondage, strong men of bondage. And that's Romans chapter 8, verse 15. And also fetishes come with that spirit. You just got to have it. Baby, I had to get these boots. I had to get this hair. I can't never do without this jacket. I can't never do without this person in my life.
Jesus.
Oh, Lord. Probably said Starbucks. Lord, the root of Starbucks is Asherah. So that's enough seat for another day.
Ooh. Wait a minute. Hold on now.
Lord have mercy. Baal and Asherah, the spirit of Babylon. But bondage, that's where you get a lot of soul ties and fetishes and you know, good luck charms and rabbit's feet. And I see people that got these Indian things in their car, Lord Jesus.
Dream catchers.
They summon spirits. You say, oh, they summon good spirits. No, they summon demonic spirits.
The spirit of the mayor,
nightmares, and also what you may get visiting you when you have stuff like that is a shaman, which is an Indian warlock, basically. And then lastly, the spirit, which is really trying to take over the entire church, the spirit of the Antichrist. This is a spirit that defiantly denies Jesus Christ as Lord.
Yep.
A lot of atheists operate in the Antichrist spirit. And that spirit actually sets up its dominion on earth before the Antichrist comes. So when he comes, he has an audience already.
Yep.
So we just wanted to give that to you. That's for tonight. I think that's the end of us giving you those nuggets and the teaching that way. And you can always come back and listen to the broadcast. But I think we're going to rest there, right there, and we'll... come for it. We can always go do that. But also, we're just going to open up the floor and give it back over to Prophetess Diana.
Okay. Amen. That's some good meat. we're going to start taking calls. Now, Apostle, explain to them what do you want as far as the calls, because I don't want people to get confused.
Okay. Anyone that has, we want to save all comments. We know this fight was very powerful. Praise God. Email us. Let us know what's powerful. Comment on the Facebook page. But tonight we really want to take people's questions, genuine questions, and be genuine. Hallelujah. We want people to be set free. There's some people dealing with some stuff, and they have questions, and they really want to know. And try your best to save at least the 2 to 3 minutes so that we can answer you back and get to more people that may have more questions on the line. Okay?
Okay. Now,
and
so
also,
far
we do have the ministry number. And I can give that now. The ministry number is 901-300-9039. That's 901-300-9039.
Amen. Now, so far we only have one person want to comment or ask a question. So you guys, if you want to comment or anything, you have to call in and press 1. So far we have one person. So Apostle, if you get through talking to this person, we can kind of continue. So hello, caller, area code 661, you're on the line.
Hey, praise the Lord. This is Sister Candace. Thank you so much for the teaching. I'm just looking through the note, and I have a question I would like prayer. One of the things, which is a prayer request, right now I'm going through something called the Soul Fast by Dr. Cindy Trim, and I know it's something that I need to do for emotional healing. And I think a lot of times that people, especially in leadership, I'm in, you know, leadership, being mentored by my pastor, I think they're embarrassed and ashamed a lot of times to admit the truth. And one thing, you know, that I'm looking at, and the Lord showed me kind of the entrance was the spirit of jealousy. And I think a lot of times leadership, they're embarrassed, you know, to admit that. But I remember being a little girl and even being jealous of my sister, you know, and just feeling insecure. And these are things, you know, some of these things I talked to with my pastor about, that she said you have to move past this hurdle. And I don't want that to be, I'm approaching ordination. I don't want that to be any type of demonic oppression in my life, you know. And so just going through the notes, and thank God, I have a book that I was following along with that I just got back from someone that I lent it out to, with the Strongman and the notes on it. But just, I guess my prayer request is to be rooted, that the root of this spirit of jealousy are rooted up. And just even looking at my journal while I'm doing the soul fast, to just, I guess, self-pity is another thing, and fear, that these things are rooted up. And God has been this year really working with me, rooting these things up. And so, but I just want everything plucked up at the root. And I think, I hope it helps somebody else if I, you know, admit this is what I'm dealing with. But I just know that a lot of times people are ashamed and embarrassed to actually say it out of their mouth.
Amen. One thing that is very important for everybody, oh, Lord, this demonology is such a bad subject. And so much, and we can say we can be done with this in 3 weeks and we can still have so much. One of the steps, or one of the very first steps to deliverance, is first admitting that there is an issue. But when you can admit what the issue is in your life, you just basically set yourself up for deliverance. You, whatever spirit that has taken root in you, and these are spirits of oppression, woman of God, you're not possessed. You're not nowhere near possessed. Because, first of all, you're a believer. And you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. So you are so not possessed. But this is a spirit of oppression. And one thing that I want you to understand, that when you not only admit that, okay, hey, I got problems, you know, because some people are so full of pride, full of, they're proud to admit that they have problems, but they won't tell you what kind of problem it is because they don't want you to know everything. They just want you to see them as the realest person that you'll ever get, and that keeps people around them and keeping people liking them. But for you to admit what the problem is, God is smiling on that. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I decree, and I declare right now, by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, that every unclean spirit, the spirit of self-pity, every unclean spirit, every lying spirit, every spirit of torment, the tormenting dreams at night, every spirit of the man, the spirit of the night husband, I pluck you out from your roots right now. And let her go. In the name of Jesus, I break the bands off of your mind. Every spirit, every deaf and dumb spirit that keeps you from understanding the word of God, loose her now. In the name of Jesus Christ. God, we thank you right now, God, that every fetter, that every chain, every spirit of bondage, spirits of heaviness, spirits of jealousy, God, that every spirit of strife, even at one point, woman of God, you wanted to commit suicide. Spiritual suicide. But God, if I just give up, spiritual suicide, God said you can't give up. Loose her now. In the name of Jesus, I declare that the power of the Lord be upon her life even now. I can't feel that I claim spirit right now for the dark places in the name of Jesus Christ. Blood of Jesus sets up your way, woman of God. The blood of Jesus in your household. The blood of Jesus in every room in your house. Every spirit of gloom, I call you out of that house. There's such a darkness, there's a certain darkness that lies in your house. I call it out right now in the name of Jesus. I don't know if you're in a house or an apartment, but I call that spirit out, your house, now. And I command and I ask even the Lord God now to come into your home to rest, to rule, and to abide. your home right now in the name of Jesus. God, I fill her house. I fill her house with the word of God. And we also bind the spirit of fear. Spirits of fear has to go now. Because you get intimidated, woman of God. You allow the spirit of intimidation to take over you because you don't think that you are as anointed. But you are precious. Your honesty has made you pure before the Lord.
Amen.
And I hear the Lord telling me to tell you, greater is he, which is Jesus Christ, who is in you, than he, which is the enemies. Our keys are the brethren, which is in the world. Is of the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. You are powerful. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are anointed. God did call you. He did choose you from the foundations of this world. And you're going to fulfill your destiny in the name of Jesus. I decree it to be so. I seal this prayer with the blood of the Lamb, with the blood of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you, woman of God.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, we have another call. Hello, caller. Your area code is 510.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, yes. This is real interesting, and I really appreciate you really speaking the truth, and I know it to be true because I've had experience myself. Can I ask you a question? I listen to most of the show. What do you do when you can see a lot of these spirits in people that you have to interact with? And, I mean, you can see the jealousy, you can see the anger, the depression, the jealousy, all of that, the sexual addictions. What do you do when you're interacting with people and they come against you? In terms of, it's almost, and then I have another question. If you've been physically involved with these people, if you've been, had emotional connections, physical connections, will those spirits from them jump on you? I mean, I'm not talking about possession, but I'm talking about, will they hover around you and trying to destroy your life? And if so, what do you do about that? And thirdly, I understand it's possible for, there's a lot of witch covens and satanic worshipers. What do you do when you believe that there could possibly have been hexes and so forth to destroy someone's life? Because I know people going through a lot. I've been through something, and it makes no sense. And all I can attribute it is to either some of that going on, or that people are just losing their minds nowadays.
Yeah.
You know, with the economy crashing, with the high unemployment, there's just a lot of anger, jealousy, and depression, and people being vengeful.
Right. I'm going to try to remember the questions in the order that you had given them. So if I forget something or if Apostle has anything at all, then he'll come in, of course. But one of the things that the believer has to understand is the anointing that we do have from the Lord that's given us. And especially you, woman of God, that when you walk in a place, you command that atmosphere to obey the spirit of the Lord inside of you. Every spirit, when you have Jesus Christ living on the inside of you, every spirit comes subject to Jesus Christ. The Bible said that every knee shall bow and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The only way that you will ever see that in operation is if you, you know how Dr. Cindy Kim tell you to command your morning and things like that? You have to literally, and this is something that everybody don't practice every morning. I don't practice it every morning, but this is something for all of us that we really should have to practicing every morning, because especially as women, we never know when we have to get up and just go somewhere and the atmosphere is off. You know, you're just like, oh, God, just give me a machete and I'll line them up and just get them, Lord, with the word or something, you know. But when you commend your day, or in other words, when you wake up, that taps into the 10th watch or the 10th hour, which is 4 a.m. in the morning, which is a part of the 4th watch. That is when the heavens are open and the Lord hears the prayers of the saints. If you ever want God to answer any prayer, I promise it works. It's not a gimmick. It's not a game. It's not a line. When I tell you 4 a.m. is the best time to meet the Lord, because the heavens are open. There's a lot of angelic activity that takes place as the Spirit of the Lord hears your prayers. You get up at that time and you begin to pray and you declare, I'm going to have a good day. And let's say you work on the job and there's a lot of hell that takes place on the job, a lot of cursing, a lot of things that happen, and you get up 4 a.m. Whatever time zone you're in, you get up at 4 a.m. You command your day. God, I am going to have a great day in the Lord. I decree and declare that this is going to happen. That's going to happen. I shut down this. I shut down the avenues of this, and every entrance and every this and every gateway is being shut down from every portals of hell, whatever. You know, I don't care if you pray unicorns, whatever. Whatever you want to happen, you can make that happen, not because of who you are, but who's on the inside of you. Only people with a relationship with Jesus Christ can do that. Now, when that happens, you get up from prayer and you're getting about your own day, you go to work and say, hey, didn't I just pray? This stuff is still going on. These people are still cursing around my cubicle or wherever you may work. Open your mouth and say, hey, I'm sorry, but that just vexed me. It's okay to address people, especially people in your family. My parents will tell you, they call me Holy Roller. They say whatever they want to say about me. I don't care. I don't care what they think, just as long as I love them and they love me. But they know off top, they do not invite me to parties. They do not ask me to come to different places. They don't say certain things around me. Some things they will say, but certain things they will not say. I have friends, even now, who still go to clubs. They had better not set two stiletto heels on my porch and ask me nothing. Okay. If it's not the church, they know. They already know. And that's because I have to command their spirit to come subject. And then all of a sudden, people will begin to come around you and they'll say, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to curse, and things like that. That's just a little simple thing. When you're dealing with family, sometimes, woman of God, it's only for you to pray within your spirit. It's only for you to pray within yourself. Now, as far as the being physical with the person, the transferring of spirits can most definitely happen that way, depending on what you mean by being involved with someone physically, because it can also, you know, some people hear that and say, oh, my God, did she mean sex? Sometimes being physically involved with a person can simply be doing someone's hair. Sometimes being physically involved with a person can be a fist fight, something you know you didn't mean for it to happen, but it has happened. Yes, spirits can be transferred that way, but it will not necessarily cause a demonic possession, because you have to, for you to be possessed with the devil, you can't be a believer in Jesus Christ. You have not received Jesus Christ in your life. And sometimes it's kind of hard to tell the difference between the two, between the person who is oppressed versus the person that's possessed. Amen. So when that takes place, your best answer to the whole thing is this one key thing, prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You pray. And don't pray just any kind of prayer, because the Word of God says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, that it availeth not just a little bit, but it availeth much. Your tears, we're going to one day have to do something on prayer. Your tears is a form of intercession. Because the Bible also says that when the righteous cry, the Lord hears them. See, my fiance, I tell you, if I cry, God's doing it. It's done. It's already done. It never, God has never let me down. But when the righteous cry, the Lord hears them and delivers them from their trouble. These are the words. You have the word on your side. And you don't necessarily have to tell that person. You know, and sometimes when you are a prophet or when you have a prophetic anointing, which I am picking that up with you, woman of God, you can walk, oh, my God, don't just start operating in the gift. Everybody got some type of spirit, whether it's good or evil, and you're going to see it and it's going to surface. Oh, my God, they're insane. Oh, my God, they're sanctified. Oh, my God. There are times I go in places and I have to keep my composure as a prophet because I can go in a place and tell who's living right. And I can walk in a place and tell who smokes cigarettes, or this person don't smoke cigarettes, this person smokes a lot of weed, and if they don't stop this, but I can't tell them that. So sometimes, strategically, I may, quote, unquote, bump into them. You know, sometimes I may say, oh, can I get by you and put my hands on their back? But I'm praying that the blood of Jesus will keep them and cover them. And there are times that the Lord will have me to speak out. There was one time, and after I say this, I'm gonna let you go. And you also have a ministry number and our email address. We're going to give that out because we want someone else to come in and give questions. But there was one particular time I went to sleep, and the Lord gave me a phone number and a woman's name. And when I woke up out of faith, I called the number. Now, needless to say, it wasn't her name. But when I began to prophesy to her, according to what I saw in the dream, it was her all the way. And she said, how did you get my number? Who are you? How did you know these things about me? What, you're not explaining this right. Why are you telling me this? I don't understand who you are. This is not, I don't think God operates like this. And then I said, well, who is this? And she was like, oh, my God, how did you know this? Are you a psychic? No, I'm a prophet. Because the Lord said, blah, 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 blah. And that woman received what the word of the Lord had to say. I can't call you her name right now to save my own 10 fingers on my hands. But understand, God is on your side. And whatever you say out of your mouth, life and death is in the power of your tongue. When you go to sleep tonight and you set your alarm clock to wake up at 4 a.m., you may wake up at 4 a.m. anyway. Just begin to speak and take authority over your day. Your entire day, and you prophesy, and I promise you, God's going to hear you, and he's going to move. But please don't need a bill paid, and you don't have the funds to pay it, and you start crying, and you guys righteous. The bill's going to be paid. Apostle can tell you better than I can.
Amen.
Thank you.
No problem.
Amen. God bless you, woman of God. Now, prophets, we have someone on the chat line, and we have another call, and we have 22 minutes, so we're going to kind of try to wrap it up after this so we can give out more information. But the person asked the question, if a man or a woman working for the Lord, but the man of God loved to watch porn, what does that mean?
Oh, wow, I love this subject. Don't ask me why, I love that because, first of all, there's a difference between a struggle and there's a difference between a rebellious person. And with the question being put that way, it's a struggle. Pray for them. Any person, I can tell you right now, any person that is dealing with perversion on any level, but they really truly love the Lord, we got to stop all this judgment stuff, you know, like, oh, you can't be saved because you're watching porn or you're doing this and you eat about 5 boxes of cornflakes. That's gluttony. You're going to hell. We got to stop that because some of these people, there's a root. And this preacher, this man of God that's watching porn, that's not the root problem. There's a spirit of rejection. And until the spirit of rejection is plucked out, until he or she is delivered from the spirit of rejection, the porn won't go away. I wish I could tell it all, but I can't. But understand that when you see someone like that in that form of a question, pray for them. Pray for them. And don't, especially women of God, let me minister to the women of God. You have a husband or you have a fiancé, especially fiancés. If you have a fiancé who has dealt in that area or who has dealt with, with pornography and things like that, it's going to be hard. If he's still in it, it's going to be hard. You cannot make it hard for your spouse or your fiancé to come to you and say, honey, I got a problem, and I keep watching it, or I can't stop watching this. If he or she is caught in the act, if you catch him watching, you say, hey, you're watching that stuff again. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's not even about them. But it's about the enemy perverting their spirit and contaminating their spirit so that they will not fulfill what it is that God wants them to do in the earth. And it goes so much deeper than that, and it will take the rest of these 20 minutes on this line for me to go into detail. Begin to love on that person. Begin to minister to that person. Now, if they don't come out to you and tell you, they don't say anything.
Amen.
You know, when God... and my fiance together, there were some other things that we would deal with, and I was like, oh, no, you're going to do it my way. He was like, no, you're going to do it my way. And I'm like, God, well, can we just do it God's way? Well, God's way is my way. I'm a prophet. No, I'm a prophet. Well, we both prophets, but you know what? We began to struggle that way. The Lord led me to pull out a journal, and I began to write in the journal my prayers, my supplications. I cried in the journal. My fiance sitting right here, he'll tell you, I have tear stains in some spots where the ink smeared up a little bit. And now I've cried, and the Lord has answered me. And I never let him know until deliverance came in the area, whether it was on my part or if it was on his part. One thing that we can't do is we can't put them down. My mother used to always say, never kick a dog while it's down. Not to compare a person to a dog, but that's an old person saying so, and she's not old, but anywho, pray for them, cover them under the blood. If they open up to you, minister to them. Make it as easy as possible for them to come to them, because, like I said, porn is not the root problem. It's the spirit of rejection. And one thing that's the worst thing that you can do when somebody is dealing with the spirit of rejection is to go rambling, raving, acting a fool, yelling, screaming, fussing, I don't want to deal with you anymore. You can't be my pastor anymore. You can't be my husband or my wife anymore, because you just enhanced the spirit of rejection. You just gave them a high five and said, you keep on doing what you're doing, rejection.
Amen.
And how do you defeat the spirit of rejection? With the spirit and the anointing of love, with the spirit of God. And that's how you come against that. That's how you pray for him or her.
Amen. Now, we have one more call, but Prophetess, I know you guys are really not finished with this series, so do you want to do another day next week? How do you want to do that?
Apostle? He said Monday.
Yeah, Monday's great.
Okay. So we'll be back for part three on Monday, you guys. So let's go and take this call. And after this call, maybe if someone else want to call in and talk to them, we have like 17 more minutes. So like I keep telling you guys, if you want to talk to them, you have to press 1. So let's take this call. Hello, caller. Area code 812. You are on the line.
Hi. Yes, I was wondering if I could receive prayer.
Yes, sure. What concerning?
My family and I, we've been praying and believing for a house that's been off and on the market, and we've just been trusting God and just been believing for open doors for it. Amen. And just believing God for a miracle.
Hallelujah. We sure can. And I can tell you, when God does it, it won't be necessarily, it won't be short of a miracle when God does do it. But God, we just thank you for the woman of God. We thank you, God, for our family. We thank you, God, that they've believed you. God, they trusted you. They relied on you. God, we just ask God your strength, Father God, God, that their faith not be wavering in what, God, you promised them. Father God, I thank you, God, that if that house, believe it will be released, but God, if that house is not released, Father God, that you supply better, because God, we know that you do exceedingly abundantly above all natural things. God, that you're doing something even right now, even concerning their finances for that particular house. God, I thank you, God, for the open doors, God. God, any challenges with them, anything that's been happening on the job, ask you right now, Father God, that it would be supplied. And God, we call it to be so. We call it done, and it is so. We claim it for mighty name, God. And even those, God, that would have, that they're going through right now, God, with housing, God, we ask, God, that you would open up the door in the name of Jesus. I give the glory and praise for it now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. God bless you, woman of God.
Amen. Bless you. Thank you.
God bless you.
You're welcome. Hello, call, you on the line, area code 434.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, I wanted to ask about Disney products and, like, if there's a demonic or a spirit that could be attached to that, or, like, certain children's toys, like Batman, or, like, if that's even possible.
It is very possible. it almost can guarantee you that there is a spirit connected in these days and times to most toys. I remember, now, I know Batman, and I'll just address that first before I address everything else. Batman, during, you know, coming up, is not the Batman that we get now. Because I remember, a couple of years ago, my little brother, he was 15 now, but at the time he was like 10 or 11, and he was watching the new Batman series. And I was sitting down there with him, and this is how advanced. See, what happens is with toys and cartoon shows, you have to be very watchful what you let your kids play with and watch, because there are subliminal messages. And a lot of people that make these cartoons and make these things, and even down to comic books and clothes and characters, you have to be careful what you expose your children to, because there are spirits in operation that gain that person behind that toy or that cartoon wealth. But it's a spirit, and a lot of those people practice the dark arts or are operating in Freemasonry and different things and different secret cults. So you really have to be careful, because I mean, we were sitting there, and I have a whole ministry. We may have to talk about that one time, dealing with children that operate in the prophetic, but also children, toys and games. I mean, you have to be careful. You can't buy your kids everything. We were sitting there watching Cartoon Network, and Batman, in the Next Generation Batman, or whatever the show was, he came to somebody, and he said, "I tried to astral project, but it was hard. It was harder this time than last time." And I said, "Wait a second." First of all, Batman is supposed to operate with gadgets and trickery, and his real superpower, if you wanted to be a superpower, was his super intelligence for gadgets. He didn't really have a power. You know what I'm saying? So when he said astral project, I said, turn it off, because it's stepping into another realm, and it goes beyond entertainment, because it begins to suddenly, what's the word, Holy Ghost? It sets your children up to be influenced by demonic spirits.
Yes.
The toys as well, because a lot of the toys that we have nowadays are actually miniature gods of what's worshipped in other countries. So your child could be playing with a god and doesn't know it. And there's attached to it.
I want to say
thousands. Now, maybe not Batman in particular, but there are different toys. You know, Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh cards, and there's so many things. Dragon Ball Z is so, and games, I don't even want to start with the video games, but there's so many things that have hidden messages and subliminal messages, and they set your children up to be desensitized to
That's
demonic
right.
influences.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Can I break in a little bit? I know a long time ago I did some research on Walt Disney, and I'm going to see if I can find that information, but I can tell you it is very much demonic, because even when you watch the Disney Channel, they have the Wizard of Waverly Place,
right.
Yeah, all those things. So you kind of, if you, sometimes even in my home when my son is watching TV, I sit down and watch just to see what the devil has out there. So I can pretty much tell you, they are demonic. The Smurfs are demonic. It's a lot of different things as far as cartoons are demonic. And hopefully next week I can get my mom briefly on the show, because the Lord showed her a vision about Diego. And when she brought it to a leader, they didn't want to receive it. So next week, if we can bring my mom in, maybe for like 2 minutes, just to talk about that vision, an open vision that the Lord showed her about Diego. Yes. So, yes, I would say the cartoons are very, very much demonic. You have to really monitor, because they're doing all kind of witchcraft. Harry Potter, we already know Harry Potter is demonic. So with that being said, I would say just really monitor what your kids watch. And if your spirit does not agree with it, it's demonic.
One thing that I also wanted to address, I know my son, I have a 6-year-old, we have Christmas coming up. We don't celebrate a lot of the Gregorian calendar holidays, but we do embrace some of the Jewish festivals in my home. But Christmas is coming up, and my son is seeing all of these toys, and he's not into Batman, but my nephew is into Batman. And my son loves Spider-Man. He loves Spider-Man. But there are symbols that Spider-Man throws, and my son does it all the time, so I try to stop him. That's another thing for another day. And he will be getting, you know, toys like maybe Batman, Spider-Man, little things like that, things that, like what we were saying, agrees with your spirit. But some of the toys, when you're playing video games, God of War, different Grand Theft Auto video games, things that inflict violence, things that inflict any kind of Greek mythology, you have to be very, 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 very careful of that. Games dealing with Japanese, anything Japanese, you want to watch that. And, you know, sometimes in this day and time, you'll say, oh, my God, well, what's safe? You may have some people say, okay, now they're being too holy. Okay, put them in your house, and we'll see what happens when we call in the next week, what happened in your home, and when we have to answer some of your questions, because we also got to go through clean house in the natural, things that you got in your house that has opened up portals of hell to your house. Now, woman of God, and I know this is a little long, however, understand that if it vexes your spirit, then do not purchase it, because this is going to be for the well-being of your son. I used to watch She-Ra as a little girl. Loved She-Ra, He-Man, loved it. And I used to always say, She-Ra, the power of the Grayskull. But I didn't pronounce it right. I used to always say the power of Grayskull. But what I did not understand was I was quoting a cultic phrase, and I was giving homages to Satan by saying that I'm Shira, or Ashera, S-H-E-R-A, saying homages to the power of the gray skull, or to the spirit of death, or to the spirit of Hades. And so I had to really be careful of what I was saying, you know, and looking at the deities that She-Ra and He-Man were fighting, which was Skeletor, which was the spirit of death. And, you know, so when we were looking at these things, you know, the people back then thought that this is okay, this is innocent. You got to think about the Smurfs, not even just so much as the Smurfs, who in some way we could say, okay, they kind of represent imps, but think about who Gargamel represents with the black cat.
Warlock.
Witchcraft. He's a warlock. He's very much so, which is a male witch. He is very much so operating in that. 80s cartoons was a hot mess. Jim, low Jim, but their opponents, were the group was called the Misfits. Now, we got beef with the Misfits, or, you know, we got put in timeouts or whatever you want to call it. But anyway, nevertheless, woman of God, just be very prayerful. But you will know, you'll see it, and it'll vex your spirit, because you have the spirit of the Lord on the inside of you. It'll vex you very horribly. But I took this phone call to say this one thing. Please, you guys, watch out for the toys back again. If you ever want to open up a hellacious portal in your house, then just go ahead and purchase Becca Gunn. My son was so addicted.
What is that? I never heard of that.
Him.
I never heard of that.
Becca Gunn is a toy. Becca Gunn. Okay, Becca Gunn is a toy, and it comes in a ball. And McDonald's was giving it out. And for a while, I stopped myself from getting Happy Meals as long as they had this toy. And after this, we got to close. But they come with a card, and the card has curses written on it, and then you may see a dragon on it or some kind of monster or some kind of demon-looking thing. And what you have to do is you have to lay the card flat on something like a flat surface, a table, and you take the ball, and when you roll the ball out, as soon as it hits the card, it automatically stops on the card. I saw my son do it. It stops on the card, and the toy opens up by itself.
Wow.
I actually met somebody on Facebook who he says that he's able to see spirits and attachments to certain items, and I told him one of my dreams, and he told me that there was an attack on my daughter through her clothes and her toys. So I've burned about 4 trash bags full of toys that Disney, anything that I felt funny about, symbolism that I didn't know. And I can feel the whole atmosphere is different in my house, but, you know, I just wanted confirmation from the Lord that I wasn't going overboard.
You're not going overboard. Anytime you're saving your house from threats to the enemy, you are not going overboard. And people will tell you, honey, you can't listen to everybody. And, you know, no, to heck with that. You
Amen.
Do what the Lord tells you to do. And if it vexes your spirit, you've done the right thing. I've gotten rid of toys. I've thrown away movies. You know, my children's father will come in and say, hey, I bought you a Scooby-Doo. And I'm like, now, look, Dad, you know, we can't do a Scooby-Doo in this house. Sorry. But my 6-year-old, it's not even so much of what I don't want him to watch. He covers his eyes and his ears with Scooby-Doo. I can't. And it's not so much that it's scary, but there's spirits that are released, and he's a prophet, and he's very sensitive to that, and he's a seer. So I have to be really careful with that. Some people can watch it, you know, and if you can, then, hey, that's great, because I love
Amen.
Scooby-Doo. But
Amen.
Because of his spirit being sensitive, we don't even play that in the house.
Yes. Amen. Well, God bless you, woman of God.
Well,
okay, you guys, we have like 3 minutes left. We're going to go ahead and end this call. So they'll be back on next Monday. This will be part 3, and they're probably going to continue until we get all the information out. But I'm glad she brought up about cartoons and everything, and we're going to do some more. We're going to talk about that a little more to get more in depth with that. So you guys remember, you can always hit Apostle and Prophetess on Facebook. If you can't get in contact with them, you can always contact me, and I can make sure you get in contact with them. They gave you the number in the middle of the show. So, you know, it's just been a blessing. I mean, wow, I'm just shocked about some of the things that's been said tonight. But like I said, next Monday we'll go more in detail about demons and deliverance. And Apostle, do you want to say anything? We have like less than 2 minutes left.
Well, I'll just give the phone number and email out again. The email is transformationprophet@gmail.com. That's the word transformation and the word prophet, P-R-O-P-H-E-T, @gmail.com. And also, the ministry number is 901-300-9039. That's 901-300-9039. And you can reach us any one of those ways. And we'll be glad to assist and help and pray. Amen.
Amen. And God bless you guys. Again, share this with everyone, because we really want to see people change by these broadcasts. We're not just doing this just to do it. We really want to see the people of God change. So you guys, please share it out with your family members, friends, whoever. It doesn't matter. Just share it out. And we will see you on next Monday. God bless you, and we will talk to you later.
We are so thankful you decided to join us this week. To keep up with ministry updates, go to www.TianaCopelandMinistries.org and follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/TianaCopelandMinistries. Join us next time and make sure you invite everyone to join us as well. We pray for you, you, and you, that the blessing of the Lord maketh it rich and addeth no sorrow with it. Proverbs 10:22, God bless. And all will be